Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, happy Thursday and happy November. Am I the only one who thinks it's crazy that it's November already? This year has just gone by so fast. I know people are already thinking about Christmas, and I can't even handle Christmas yet. In fact, if I hear a Christmas jingle before Thanksgiving, I think I'm going to have some issues. Oh, Kaylin Patterson. So on that note, this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, like what,
like
KP?
A Mack truck through ice cream, lady.
That's right. I tell you what. Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. I reckon so. And now let's talk. I am Desiree Fletcher, and he is Kaylin Patterson. And together we are P4P Real Talk. And Kaylin Patterson. O'Kellen. Yes. Hashtag Team Austin. O'Kellen O'Patterson. How are you doing this fine evening?
Oh, it's been a day, and you know, everything's happy and they're smiling and yay, huh? Yay.
You know what? I'm not super convinced, but I'm going to roll with it because, you know, sometimes we all just have days like that and you just got to smile in spite of it all. And otherwise, you know, you might start crying. So why do that? If you need a good cry, go for it. But otherwise, you know, dry it off. Turn on the smile.
Sounds like a country song.
It does sound like a country song. Your cat died. Your dog died. Your cow died. Your pickup
truck
died.
And the Ford truck died.
And the Ford truck. But I got my bottle of whiskey or something like that.
And my dog doesn't leave me alone.
That's right. In our case, we got our blender bottle of aw shucks. And everything's going to be all right. But this is kind of a good segue into the show that we have tonight. Because, you know, sometimes stuff just happens. And it's sometimes things we can't control. It's things that we have to live with, that we have to deal with on a daily basis. They're not necessarily fun. But you know what? Despite it all, you could overcome, you can be an achiever, you can do the things that you always wanted to do. And that's pretty much the philosophy of our guest that we have this evening. If you've been watching Midwest Muscle, you've seen her video. She was a transformation competitor during the 2017 NGA Natural Peoria Championship that Kaylin and I were talking about on Tuesday. And tonight she is going to be with us to share the rest of her story and just talk a little bit more about being an overcomer and individuals with disabilities and everything that kind of goes along with that, because it's one thing to know someone with a disability and feel like you understand what they're going through, but it's another thing to be that individual and to be able to speak firsthand about it and to and just talk about what it really takes to dig deep and to just keep things moving forward and not let it stop you. And with that, I'm going to turn the floor over to Tamara Antonucci, and I'm going to let her introduce herself to you all.
All right. Can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, yeah.
My name is – all right. My name is Tamara Antonucci, Tamara the Purple Warrior. I'm here to talk about my story a little bit. I just competed in my first show. I don't know if I could do another one or not. We'll see. You know, with my health problems, I just wanted to be able to say I did it. But I was born with some problems, and I almost died at birth, but I made it thanks to technology. But I had a lot of seizures growing up, and I was diagnosed with epilepsy at a really young age. Kind of dealt with it and had a few here and there as I got older. But after I had my first son, I was training to actually be in a competition. And I was not that bad. You know, things were going great. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be in a bodybuilding competition. I was like 21 years old. I am 36 now. But I had a really bad seizure, and they just started hitting me hard. Like, it was like seizure after seizure. And it was like, what the heck? I don't know if it was a hormonal change or what, but I had one that almost killed me and ended up damaging my brain even more. So I ended up having multiple types of seizures on top of it. And then as I was on the medication for a long time, I developed other health issues like autoimmune diseases and stuff like that. Well, I was told I couldn't compete. And, of course, you develop a lot of anxiety and depression and stuff when your life changes like that. You know, you could think things are going so great and fantastic. And, you know, you think you have the world at your fingertips. And then, you know, you don't realize that that can be taken from you just like that. So I wouldn't even leave the house. Like, there was a period where I didn't know how to deal with some of these seizures. Because some, you know, I had grand mal where you're unconscious. But a lot of times I have some of the smaller ones that kind of make your vision a little different, or, you know, make you feel sick, you get a migraine, and, you know, you don't know how to, I didn't know how to cope with them. So they were scary to me at first, you know, especially grand mal seizures. Cause you're like, am I going to wake up? Am I not? So I just kind of, you know, had to learn to kind of deal with it. And I finally got to a point in my life where I had to think, I can't let this control me. I have to do that I need to do to take care of my kid, because I was barely even able to take care of him at the time. I was in and out of the hospital sometimes 5 days at a time, and took a long time for me to get on the proper medications. But as time went, I developed more issues, more specialists. I've got 8 specialists right now that I see regularly, and I am in the mental health program at Methodist right now, the outpatient. So it's kind of like having to deal with your monsters, I guess is the word. Well, I decided, you know what, I need to deal with these monsters, you know, and it wasn't easy. I had to think of the things that I cannot do. I can't run. And there would be times like training for the competition I just did, I'd be like, gosh, I wish I could run. And I'd break down crying because I would hurt so bad. And one time I tried to. And I was like, why did I just do this? Because I couldn't move for like a week. And I was like, you did this to yourself. You know, you're not healthy like everybody else. You have conditions that are making it to where you can't do this. I have to eat a certain way. I couldn't be on the specific diet that some of the people are on because of my seizures. And it was frustrating because here you want to be this person and you want to win. You want to be perfect. And you have to think in your head, okay, you know, I can't. I have to take time off after a seizure. I have to train a certain way. I can't lift as heavy as I want to. I can't run. I can't, you know, and you have to think about this stuff. And I don't even know how many times I broke down in tears training with my coaches. Like they were my life support, just sitting there. And, you know, there'd be times I couldn't make it and they'd be like, it's okay. You know, you're sick or you're having some issues or you have an appointment. I was in the hospital like 5 times in the past 5 months that I've been I was training for the show. And it was hard because sometimes I'd be in there for seizures. And one time I went there and I was in so much pain. And I guess I had a cyst to the size of a little bit bigger than a lime. And to my doctor, and he's like, we need to have surgery to take that out right away. And I looked at him. I said, I will deal with the pain. I am doing that show. And he looked at me like I was crazy. He's like, he says, no, this is literally like probably like 3 weeks before the show. He's like, no, we need to get this out. It's big and it's going to keep hurting. And I'm like, I always hurt. I'm used to it. Cause you adapt. Like when you're used to something, like people say, how do you do it? As humans, we adapt and you start to get used to things like, yeah, I'm in a lot of pain. Yeah, I deal with this and that. And I do have my days I cry. People think, oh, she's just, look at her. She's so strong. And deep down inside, like, I'm not. Like, people are like, oh, you know, she's got it together. But you don't. Like, there is a lot of monsters you have to fight. And, you know, it's a matter of killing those monsters. I'm going to say that like that. But I said no to the surgery, so I pushed through, and I actually see that doctor next week, so I got to deal with that. But you know, and I told you about the injections. Just little stuff like that. It was constantly something. Like I was in the hospital, or they're like, oh, you need this done, or here, let's change some medications. So, you know, every time you have a medication change, especially when you're on like 14 medications, it messes you up. So it was like always these barriers. Like I almost told myself, I can't do this show. Like I think I told my coach 50 times, no, I'm not doing it. I told my friends 50 times, no, I'm not doing it. And I'd cry and I'd just let out these tears of frustration because it's a lot to deal with. It was a lot. Like
it is
a
lot.
Okay, you know what? This is too much. And I honestly thought I was going crazy for a while. Like I'm like, I can't do this. I can't be as good as the other people. But I had to get it in my head that who cares if you're not better than everybody else? The fact is you're doing something that you wanted to do before your life, putting yourself out there. And I wanted to show the world and the people who follow me that, hey, if there's something you want to do, who cares if you're not the best? The fact is, you did it. You had the heart to sit there and say, you know what? I don't care if people judge me or whatnot. Because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, she looks really healthy. But they have no idea how much I'm hurting or crying behind doors. Because I hate people seeing that in me. I want people to see the happy me. Because I want to
put, hold
you
on,
know how it
hold
is.
Hold on. Hold on there, lady. Let's rein in a little. Because there's one thing, you know, about competing, and this is the beauty of it, is that no matter what best is, your best has to be paramount. And if that's what you brought, then that's an amazing feat. Now, the one thing that I will bring up is that when you stepped out there, people were shocked. When, you know, I was back in the back letting people know, you know, what was going on with you and how much it took to get you prepared for stage and how much you had to prepare yourself to get up on stage because that the person that they were looking at didn't look like the person that you're describing. So, you know, you had spoken about this on the Midwest Muscle video, but I'd like you to relay that same thought about, you know, some people misunderstanding what sickness is because they say you don't look sick. So just elaborate on that.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, you can be disabled and you could technically still work a few, you know, certain amount of hours a week. And I'm a server one day a week at Chili's. And that one day a week, I'm just going to put it out there, is horrible for me. But I love doing it because it gets me out. So it's frustrating because you get these people because you don't want to go around being all, you know, those people that are like always like, oh, I hate my life. I hate life. Oh, it sucks. I don't want to be that person. Like I tell people just because someone doesn't look sick doesn't mean they're not. And I'm not necessarily sick. It's more of a, you know, condition or I don't know. People like to relay it in different ways. Like some people don't want it to be called a disability. But you are disabled because you're not able to do as much as other people, you know, and it's frustrating. Like people look at you and you'll have someone say, oh, well, you look great. You don't seem disabled. But then you think about how much harder it is for you to do things that normal people do. I can't even go to a grocery store alone. I know that people saw me on that stage and I looked great, but I'm someone who has to have people help take care of her. You know, I can't even take care of myself. I have people, family, friends that help take care of me. And it's frustrating for me because I want to be this independent person. And then especially all the tears and the pain and the seizures and, you know, the doctor's appointments and procedures when somebody doesn't know that's going on. And then they sit there and say, oh, you look great. You look fine. Nothing's wrong with you. You get so angry because you're like, do you know what my life consists of? Like, I always tell people, my doctor's appointments alone, sometimes, you know, some of the doctors, it can take an hour to just, you know, sucks. It sucks a lot of time out of your life. And I tell people,
the waiting room alone.
Yeah, the waiting room. My last one was like 4 hours because he had something he had to leave for. And I was like, this is a full-time job. Right here, going to the doctor this many times and having procedures is a full-time job. So
yep.
it's just trying to convey
here
that.
You are. Yep,
And you've actually, you know, taken all of this and developed a platform, a positive platform, to help spread the word and educate about individuals with disabilities, and that there can be disabilities that you don't just see with the naked eye, but then also for epilepsy as well. I think I've seen you post that this month is National Epilepsy Month. Do I have that right?
Yep. No.
Or was that last
month?
Yes, it
is. So, purple ribbon. Nope. November. Yep.
Okay.
It is Epilepsy Awareness Month.
Purple warrior. Okay. So that's the color, and it is Epilepsy Awareness Month. And so I know that you do have a lot of followers that are motivated and are very appreciative of, you know, just putting yourself out there like you did, and different things, because I see that you like to dance as well, but then also with this bodybuilding competition, because you're helping give them a voice as well to raise awareness for this condition that affects, you know, so many. And I have to admit, I'm ignorant about how widespread or the impact that epilepsy has on, you know, people as individuals, but then also just, you know, across the nation. And I'm wondering if you have some numbers that you can share about the condition and just how many people it impacts and, you know, just those sorts of things.
If I'm correct, I think it's 1%, and maybe 1 out of 20 people or 1 out of 23 or something will develop it. People can develop it in different ways. Like, you can get it when you're older from a car wreck or something. Mine was specific to damage to my brain during birth and trauma, but people get it in different forms. There are literally several different types of seizures. Like, you see, everybody thinks of the, like, ones that they see on TV that are all, like, crazy and shaking, and yeah, you know, you're unconscious and you move a little bit, but I mean, some people do have ones like those, but I mean, there are also like one staring ones. There's, or we have what are called auras, and it's a feeling before you have a seizure. And that's actually a different type of seizure in its own, I guess. There's just so much to it that people have no idea. Like, oh, well, you're not, like, people who know me, like my coach, he'd know when I have my smaller seizures, 'cause he could tell my eyes were moving a certain way, or like I wasn't there. But, like, people who don't know me will just think I'm, like, rolling my eyes at them or something. And it's, like, and I actually got in trouble at school. Yep. And I actually got in trouble at school sometimes from teachers saying, are you rolling your eyes at me? And it's, like, no, I'm having seizures, man. Like, no, people don't understand that's actually stressing your brain, stressing your body. So, like, people, everybody that says they have epilepsy could have different side effects, different types of seizures, different reasons for it. The awareness that people try to raise is, like, you know, seizures aren't just like the ones you see on TV. There's many other forms, and they all wear you out. They all affect your memory. I have cognitive issues because of it and memory problems. I'm losing short-term memory, and it's worse as you get older. Like, you know, you have to know that it's not going to get better, because they don't have a cure. There is no cure for it, just surgeries, medications, and pretty much psychological therapy. That's pretty, and counseling. That's okay. Pretty much the only things that they have right now.
Wow.
Okay. Well, you know, you just remain hopeful that as the medical community continues and they start to understand more things better, that, you know, more, I'd say, and maybe better treatments will be coming down the pike in the future. But in the near term, you know, just got to keep watching and be, you know, supportful. That's not even a word. Supportive and stay informed,
which kind of leads me.
I know. I'm just going to start my own dictionary. Supportful. That's the first entry. But it kind of segues really nice into some of the listener questions that we've already been getting. And so I want to get to some of those so we don't miss out on getting answers for them. But the first one was, this one is from Brenda. And so I'm tying back into the lines of support, because part of what you're doing is to raise awareness And to be successful at that, you do need support in different forms. And Brenda is asking, how do you get donations for your cause? Are there links to a website, to a certain page? Is it through your Facebook page? Or do you accept donations for your cause? Or is what you're doing purely just an awareness campaign that you do because of your passion to bring more light onto this subject?
Mine is more just for awareness campaign. I don't want to make money from it, but because, I mean, I do a lot of epilepsy awareness, but I do a lot of other disability, like anxiety, stuff like that. Like, I mean, I have people who have lupus, because my autoimmune disease is related to that. I have people who have, you know, all kinds of different invisible illnesses, but the best site for epilepsy is the Epilepsy Foundation. If you type in epilepsy, National Epilepsy Foundation, they are a great foundation. In fact, when I first started having my bad seizures, I called them because I didn't know what to do or where to go, and I was having a hard time finding a doctor. They got me to a great doctor who passed away this past year, and that was really hard because I had him for 15 years, and I'm having a hard time finding a neurologist at the moment. Right now, my family doctor's kind of taken on the workload of that. But the National Epilepsy Foundation, fantastic organization.
Great. So, Brenda, I hope that helps answer your question there. And if you are wanting to be more supportive of epilepsy research and programs, check out the National Epilepsy Foundation. Our next question is, Diana wants to know if you are the lady from the video, and the answer to that is yes. Tamara is the individual in our interview that we had at the NGA NPC. She was a transformation competitor, and so you got a highlight into her story, which we're hearing a little bit more about tonight. So there is that. And then Linda wants to know, so I think we have some interested listeners that have been taking a look at your pages, and she wants to know if that is your son in some of the pictures.
Yes, I have two children. My oldest doesn't like pictures, so there's not many of him. He's almost 15 years old.
Oh, mine are the same way. Mine are the same way.
My youngest loves them. He loves purple. He always like paints things purple and for me and he is 10 and he's in fifth grade, and he is very supportive of like raising awareness and knows what to do when situations happen with me. And you know, he's had to learn a lot, you know, unlike most kids who get to go do stuff, he's had to like deal with my problems on top of, you know, dealing with school, which is hard, but at the same time he is so close to me, and he's just a really good little kid.
I had a chance to chat with him, and he's got quite the energy and quite the smile that just kind of takes over a room. So you've done a great job with that.
Thanks. I've tried.
Well, no, you've succeeded, because he's got a lot of energy, a lot of love, and just a great, real, genuine smile. And I just adore that about him. And he had me laughing from the first minute he started talking until you guys had basically had to leave to get your grub on and you get your rest. So now, when it's coming to that, you know, when you're talking about your children, because I think a lot of people need to understand that you're still a mom. You know, you still have a life. Like you said, there's 100 things going on in your day. How do you keep your anxiety and your stress levels down so you can still be that loving mom that can teach your children to have those smiles that are genuine and have that love that is real?
I can't say that I keep the anxiety down, because I have horrible anxiety to the point where, you know, sometimes it's debilitating. And I actually, the fact that I was at that show is crazy, because people can't even get me to go out on a Friday night because I have a hard time around people. When I perform, it's different, because I can kind of pretend I'm somewhere else. You know, when you get up on a stage or something, it's like my mind when I'm dancing or performing, and this was kind of the same thing to me, it's like you're not there. But when you get around the actual crowd and people, and I felt bad because I didn't really talk to many of the competitors, and it wasn't because I didn't like them. It's just that I was so anxious that I was, like, trying to just keep calm to myself in my little area and, you know, try to keep myself, and I was, you know, the medications I had, and I was like, okay, am I going to fall on the stage because I am medicated, you know, and you got all these nervous things in your head. But, you know, I like to teach my son to be positive through hard times, because that is my way of coping, is by being funny and joking through hardest times. Like my family, that's how they, you know, my grandfather when I was younger always told me, you always joke. Joking is the best medicine. And man, he's right. Like, just, I could be having the hardest day, and if you came over and talked to me, I would make jokes, even though I was in the hospital or something. That's just the type of person I am. You know, when they told me that I had that cyst, I'm like, oh, it's like a little baby and they're growing, you know, and they're like, aren't you in pain? I'm like, yeah, but I got a little lime in there, because they told me it was the size of a lime. So I made the best out of it. I was like, oh, I'm growing fruit now. So, you know, you just kind of just try to look at the best in everything, you know, like, yeah. You know, and that's the one thing I am appreciative with going through everything I have, is it has taught me to appreciate the small things, you know, and you see people complain about the littlest things, and it's hard to understand those people, because it's like, if my only complaint was my hair, I would love that, you know, like I'm happy to get out of bed.
And you know, like I said, you know, stuff happens. It's not in your control, but when you can appreciate, you know, those things, like getting out of bed. You know, oftentimes I'm waking up, my first prayer in the morning is, thank you for putting air in my lungs for one more day, because it is a gift. It's not a given. And I think a lot of people take that for granted. And, you know, it's so crazy sometimes, because, and I'm actually thankful for your honesty, because a lot of times we'll go through our day and we'll ask somebody, well, how are you doing? Not really expecting to get a truthful answer. And so sometimes it's unexpected, but, you know, if you really want to know how someone is doing or how someone is managing, coping, getting through things, you have to be prepared for that answer. And that's the answer that you're giving. And, you know, as Kaylin had said in his interview with you for Midwest Muscle, is that, you know, really, after listening to things like this, a lot of the excuses that we like to come up with of why we can't do something, they really don't hold water anymore. They just don't.
No,
because
they don't.
You just see somebody who's an overcomer, and while they're going to be honest and tell you how it is, they're still managing to be upbeat the best that they can, and still going out there and striving after goals, dreams, and making it happen the best that they can. And that's really what it is all about. So, you know, you might have had a lime, but then you're ready for the tequila, right? Do a little dance. You've got an internal cocktail going on, right? Okay, well,
yes,
anyway,
like, I can't drink,
figuratively
so.
Speaking, that's all right. It'll be a limeade, like at Sonic. We'll get a little limeade, like at Sonic. So, but I am gonna turn it back around to, because we've got a little more serious question. I think there's someone, one of our listeners, who's really looking just for more insight, and I think probably more or less moral support here. But her daughter was in a car accident and has been having seizures ever since, especially during times of stress or anxiety. And she's wanting to know, how tired are you after a seizure, and how much time does it take you to recover? I think she's trying to look for a little comparison as to, is what her daughter experiencing, is that normal, or, you know, just trying to learn more.
Oh my gosh, it takes so much out of you. Like, the night of the show, I came home, and in the middle of the night, I had a really bad, one of my bad seizures. And I know, I mean, it was to be expected. I had a lot of stress and anxiety all day. And I literally probably sat on the couch for 2 days straight. Sometimes, depending on how bad the seizure is, you know, you'll hurt for a day or two. But it does, it wipes you out. It's like, you're tired, everything in your body hurts. It's not like the same kind of hurt like when you like work out, you know, you get that good burn or whatever. This is like deep, into your bones type of hurt. And it also causes a lot of emotional too, because when you have a seizure, obviously you just had a storm in your brain is what, you know, pretty much a good term for it. So your emotions, you can't control them. So one minute you're happy, next minute you're angry, the next minute you're sad. You know what I mean? Like you can't, you don't even know why or how you're feeling. You can't even put a reason to an emotion. So like you're sitting there frustrated and sad, but you're like, what am I even sad about? Or, you know, what you're angry, but you're like, why do I feel angry? And it just messes with you mentally and physically. It drains you. So what her daughter's experiencing is probably very normal because, like I said, we all deal with seizures differently. But for the most part, from everything in support groups and stuff that I've been in, most of us have the same after effects of being tired, being sore, because it tightens every one of your muscles up. Even the smaller seizures, something is happening to your brain that controls your whole body. So, you know, it's hard, like emotions, you just realize how powerful your brain is because it's like, where is this control coming from? So the best advice I can give is to just be there for their son or daughter. I forgot if you said which one. Being a parent that's there is probably I really love when I hear that because, you know, a lot of times parents don't know how to, you know, cope or deal with it, and then it leads to a lot of frustration. So I know if I was on the other side, I wouldn't know what to do, and it would be hard to understand being inside that person or putting my feet in their shoes. So just being there and, you know, trying to understand that, you know what, if they're having some emotional time, they can't control it. It's nothing that you did. It's just that our brains don't know how to tell themselves or turn themselves off.
Yes. Now, there's something that you brought up, and you talked about that storm inside your brain. And, you know, mm-hmm. if anybody's seen some of the storms from Florida and Texas, you know it's devastating at the least. And, you know, it's very destructive at the most. Now, when you're talking about that storm that's going on, how much of your cognitive memory is still intact when all this is happening? Or do you basically check out and don't have to remember what, you know, your body's going through? Because that can be quite painful, reliving those moments sometimes in itself.
It's scary because, and I also have PTSD. That's kind of why I'm in the outpatient therapy program right now. And, you know, it is scary because, like, when you're in a bigger seizure, I don't know with mine, my grandma seizures, you for a while, and then as you start to wake up, you can hear things, you can, you know, you can hear, but you can't see, you can't move, you can't talk, but your brain is talking. You know what I mean? Like, you're having a conversation with yourself in your head. Like, you're like, am I alive? Am I dead? Like, one time, the big one, my mom was crying in the background, and I was trying to yell it for her in my head, but, like, you know, it's scary because you're like, why am I hearing everything, but I can't see? So this storm mm-hmm. going on, you know, you got that. It's scary because you're like living, it's almost like being in the hell, like hearing your mom cry and, you know, hearing an ambulance come in the background, and then in your brain, you're like, dang, my kid's in the crib and he's, am I dead? I need to take care of my kids and this and that. And, you know, and then when you wake up, the storm's in your brain because you are cognitive, you know, that these feelings are happening, but you don't know how to control them. So if you have a little bit of anger and frustration, like there was one time I had a big seizure and I still tried to go to the gym. I didn't do much. I just wanted to be around people because I was so anxious. And I was like, I can't be at home alone. I need to be around somebody. So we went and I just started, like, we were laughing and having fun talking. And I just started breaking down crying. And he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't know. And I'm sitting here just crying so hard. And I'm like, I can't tell you what's wrong. And, you know, they're hugging me and they're like, it's okay. And the whole time I cried. And I'm like, why? What is wrong with me? Am I? And you think to yourself, am I broken? And you know you're not broken. You know you're only human. And it's something you can't control. But you feel broken so many times, you know, and you feel like you'll be a burden to others. So it's hard to make friends and it's hard to make relationships. But, you know, you think that, like when you're feeling like this.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when you have the storm. But, you know, and you're like, yo, what's wrong with me? And, you know, and you don't even know why. It's like, why did I just do that? And then, you know, and then you'll be happy. And it's like you're not bipolar. It's just that your brain is trying to get back in its original, well, whatever is original state.
The normal, yeah.
Sure, sure. And so through it all, I mean, through it all, somewhere in there, I mean, you had an original goal to want to compete in a bodybuilding competition. And you saw that goal through. But what was it that made you want to even pursue competing in a bodybuilding arena?
I'm very, I won't say obsessive compulsive, but I have this thing in my head where I fear cancer. I fear other things going wrong because so many things are going wrong, you know, like when you get so many things, like I had both my grandma and my mother get breast cancer. So like when I heard that, I was like, I got to keep myself healthy no matter what. And I always loved working out. Like it was like something I love to do. I can't work out like crazy, obviously, but you know, going for my walks, like if I don't go walk, I realize my anxiety is even higher. And it does help out with anxiety. Like exercise is like a great, I'm not saying it cures it, obviously. I mean, I'm still a mess, but you know what I mean? Like I was like, okay, I got to keep myself. So I went ketogenic. I'm actually on a way different diet than most competitors. Ketogenic diet is a great diet for like people with epilepsy, they say, and it did not help my seizures, but I loved how it like kind of leveled me out. Like I don't have the ups and downs with glucose. It kind of just keeps you level.
Okay. Yeah.
It kind of helps your brain. So I did that and I lost a bunch of weight because I had actually been 45 pounds heavier and I couldn't lose weight because my thyroid was like acting up, or like I actually had to have a hysterectomy at an early age because my body was attacking itself and different organs decide. I'm actually have liver problems now, so it's like, well, not problems, but I'm starting to, so I got to figure out how to get that under control. And I don't even drink, but apparently I have the liver of an alcoholic, and like I didn't even get to have fun for it, but sorry, here I go trying to be funny. but you know, it's like I told myself, I'm like, sorry, I do
it. He's a piece of work.
But I told myself, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do it. And I met my coach, and I said, you know what? He's like, you can do this. And I was like, but I can't do the things that others can. He's like, who cares? Do what you can.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what, you're right. And then the closer I got, the more times they said, no, I can't. You know what, I said, you know what, I came to the conclusion, like I told you earlier in the interview, is, you know what, I'm not going to look, I'm going to go the way I can go. It doesn't matter if I can't do the other things that other people can do. It's just a matter of just saying I did it and I tried my hardest.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, and I have a lot of respect for that, and I have respect for your coach in being encouraging, and I'm glad that, I mean, I don't have the full ins and outs of it, but, you know, it seems like you two came to a consensus of what would and wouldn't work for you. He didn't try to push, you know, a blanket approach on you and just really worked with you to make sure that you could get to your goal in as safe as manner as possible. So, and maybe I'm, you know, oversimplifying, but that's the kind of impression that I get. So that makes me happy too, that that's the kind of experience that you had. And I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to know if you are going to compete again. And, you know, do you think that your health can sustain another go round?
Right now I'm going to say no, because it was very hard on me. And after the big seizure that night, I realized, I'm like, I had put myself through so much, but at the same time, I was like, was it worth it? You know, cause when you have a seizure, you fear death. That's the reason why you're so anxious.
And that's
sometimes
legitimate, you know, that's legit.
And, you know, it was a fun experience, and I know that part of me wants to do one more, but then part of me is like on the fence still, because you're like, because like this week doing the relaxing, it's been kind of nice to have my life back a little bit. And I'm like, okay, you know, but part of me is like misses it. And it's just hard to tell right now, because it's like, I just did it. So I'm all fresh and anxious and like still thinking it was scary to have my health the way it was. And, you know, just glad I did it. Because I'm not going to lie, like, by the time I got to the show, I was enjoying myself, but at the same time, I just wanted it to be over with. And it's not because I was not liking it, doing it. It was just how I was feeling, you know, after being worn. I was just worn out, all the medications, all the doctor's appointments. Like, I was doing physical therapy 2 months before the show. I was like, I got thrown back in physical therapy for, you know, I tore a rotator cuff, and it's like, cause my body just hates me or something. I don't know. But like, I was like, dang, I'm back in physical therapy again. And on top of all the other appointments and getting ready for the show. And it was a lot of work. And I don't know. If you ask me again in a few months, I may change my mind, but right now I'm not sure.
Sure.
Well,
I mean,
an
and that's fair enough. Yep, most definitely. And I just say hats off. You know, not everything was ideal, but you did it, and you could really tell that you were enjoying yourself up on that stage. You know, you held your own up there, so kudos for that. And I always say you have to be a student of your own body. So right now you need time to rest. You'll see how things go in the future. And if this is just, you know, a one and done, there's nothing wrong with that either. So still a lot of respect for the effort that you put into it. And just, you know, taking consequences by the hair and just saying, I'm doing it. You know what? And I'm going to be, you know, as thoughtful about it as I can, but here we go. And so congratulations to you for that. And I would just say, I guess my last question is, as we look to wrap up here, is, you know, there's a lot of folks that are listening, and there's probably some of them that are a little fearful. But if someone is in your position, and there is something that they've always been wanting to do, but they're just feeling like, you know what, like you've kind of felt so many times, I just don't know. What is it you would tell them while they're, you know, thinking through these opportunities that kind of seem out of reach to them?
You know, everything seems impossible at first. And, you know, you just have to think, is this what I really want? And when you really want it, if you want something bad enough, you'll try. And if you fail, it's okay. At least you tried. It's kind of like with running. Like when I got frustrated and I tried to run and I realized my hips and, you know, my joints can't handle it, it was like, okay, you know what? I thought I'd give it a shot since I'd lost weight, see if it changed, you know, and I couldn't. And you know what? Yeah, I cried, but you know what? I got to realize, okay, that's something I can't do. But if I hadn't tried, how would I have known that I couldn't? So that's the thing. Like, yeah,
exactly.
If something had came up that I couldn't have done, you know, done that day, then I would have had to, you know, deal with that. And yeah, you set yourself up for disappointment more when you are like me and hard headed and try to do things. But at the
you
hard headed?
No.
At the same time, you learn your barriers. You're like, okay, I can do this, but I can't do that. All right, I won't do that again. You know what I mean? Like, okay, but if you sit in your house and be scared all the time, like I was before, I lost like 2 years of my life just sitting around being scared. And when you do that, you don't get those days back, you know, and you don't realize how, you know, anything can happen to make it to where, you know, your life is shortened, or, you know, you never know. Like I said, I was doing great when I first had my first son, and then just boom, you just don't know when something can happen. So it's like, all right, I got to take charge of my life. If I want to do it, I'm going to try it. But I use the word try, because if you say, just say do it, you set yourself up for disappointment when you can't. So you just say, I'm going to try this, you know, and make your goals short. Like, I'm going to try this today. Okay, if I can do that, then I'm going to try this, you know, and you got to have a good support system. I know I did it for a while, and it did. It took a village for me to do this show, and I honestly, I'm saying that, and it's true. It took a village. It did.
Well, and I think, you know, I think you're a little bit of a mind reader, too, because the next question, well, I guess not question, but opportunity on our show is to, you know, we try to give our listeners a chance to give shout outs to anyone and everyone that was there in support of them. And I'm sure your list is really, really long, but we'd like to go ahead and turn the floor back over to you to give shout outs to all those folks that have been there for you through this journey.
Okay. Frank Miller. Let's see. John Abraham, Mike Rea, I'm trying to think of everybody. I'm going to leave people out here. our friend Pat, let's see, Shane, Robbie. There were so many people that kept my head straight here. My doctor, Aaron Boyer, he actually doesn't do these kind of shows, but he used to do strongman shows, and he knew that I wanted to do this, so he kept up seeing me and making sure I was doing okay. So I got to give a huge shout out for him, not like, you know, being like, why are you doing this? And let's see here. Stephanie Russell, Vanilla Sugar, she sponsored me, and we actually went to the same church, and I used to watch the kids, so she kind of paid it forward and sponsored me with the tan and stuff. And Dazzle Tan helped me out too, because I ended up messing my tan up a little bit. So, I mean, the list goes on with sponsors. Artie, a bunch of people. Oh, Subway. Subway was a sponsor in the Heights. Nicole, the manager there, she held an event for me there, and I made money there. So, I mean, if it wasn't for all the sponsors I had, I wouldn't have made it. Tim, I'm trying to think. If I left anybody else out, I'm really sorry. Oh, Kim Kosh. So that's all I can think of off the top of my head. But like I said, it took a village.
That's quite all right. You did well, and you represented everybody that put their work into helping you. That's the best way to say thank you, is to get up there and do your best. And that's exactly what you did.
I have to say thanks to Jonathan, too, because he did run the show, and he answered every single question I messaged him, because I was a mess there for a while, and I was like, do I need this? Do I need that? Am I doing this wrong? You know what I mean? And, my coach, Astria, she was my posing coach. I can't forget her. She kept me straight there, too. But Jonathan did a great job of answering me back, and, you know, I felt bad. I was like, God, I'm a pain in the butt, but but he did great. He was a great production person. Is that what they call them? The ones who hold the shows? I don't
promoter.
Know what they call them, but yeah,
a promoter. Yep.
There we go.
That was all right. I can't think of words. I almost made up my own word like you did earlier, but.
That's okay. We'll publish our book of made up words together.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Classic.
Well, my gosh. I know it. I know. I tell you what.
I reckon so.
So, Cameron.
And I have to thank you guys, too, because you guys made me laugh that day, too. And, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, I, you know, you kept me calm, too, because you were funny.
Well, there you go. I have to give more of that credit to Kalen, but you know what? It's he was
Kalen.
Having quite the day. O'Kellen. O'Kellen Patterson of the clan, of the clan P for some reason.
Glad O'Kellen.
But, yeah, he was having quite the day. He was pretty popular,
must
say. A lot of photo requests, everything else.
Hey, easy
even
some ladies, even some ladies were eyeing the O'Kellen, but I'm going to save that for a different show.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
We'll save those stories for another time. Maybe our end of the year wrap up. But anyway,
you'll
I digress.
Have to do like
Tamara,
a countdown
thanks so much.
Of it.
Yeah,
you're
no
welcome.
Doubt. No doubt. But thanks so much for joining us on the show tonight. And we just want to wish you all the best. And you know what, lady? You're going to make it. I know days are just hard some days, maybe most days. But you're going to make it. And so we'll be praying for you.
Thanks a lot. And I hope that I reach more people out there to help them stay strong, too. And thank you guys for giving me the opportunity.
You have.
Hey, no doubt.
You
have a great night. Wow, what a story.
Yes.
She's been through a lot.
She has been through a great
deal.
There was one question that I forgot to ask, and but you kind of answered it when you said, and it was from Belinda, and I'm sorry, Belinda, because it just, you know, when she got to talking about that storm, it really left me with questions. Was she glad she did it? And, what we heard at the end, it sounds like she was, and she had a good time. But she did bring up the name of John Abraham, and I have to give kudos to him as well, because if everybody that knows this show and the Midwest Muscle is that I'm not afraid to hit the road, and it doesn't bother me, you know, about driving and things like that. But it does bother the people that know me. And sometimes when they can intervene, they do. And John Abraham basically stepped in and said, you know, it's too late at night. You've been here basically all day. You're not driving home. You're going to stay at my place and get some actual rest. And, you know, he didn't have to do it. He didn't even have to offer. But he just said, you know, it's more important that you get your rest because we know what you're going to do. We know, Kaylin, it's okay for you to take a break. You don't have to sit there and prove anything to anybody. And he opened the door to his house, and he let me stay there so I could basically get some rest because, you know, driving on the road is in bad weather. It's stressful. Nothing like what our guest has to deal with on a daily basis. But it does work your body a little bit harder than you're willing to admit. So it's nice to have that chance to rest. And also, I want to give a shout-out to Courtney because after our workout and photo shoot, she had some cookies that were so good. Oh, the post-workout
They were
cookies.
Good. They were
That's
good.
I was about to say, Dad, you had some, so yeah.
No, not some. One. That's
oh,
all that
sorry.
Was left.
The Cookie Monster had one cookie. I'm sorry.
You know, I just had to put that out there because you give me such a hard time. And then when you got a hold of some cookies, there was one left. But you know what? I appreciate you saving me that
now,
one
who
because
got into
it was
that?
Worth it.
I
it was
know,
worth it.
Because I thought somebody had gotten when I left that at the sponsors booth, there were, I think, 8 cookies. But when we came back from the workout, there was one.
I don't know, but it wasn't me. It wasn't
okay.
me.
Okay. And I said the cookie monster.
No, I only had Scout's Honor, Girl Scout's Honor, whatever you want to call it. I only had the one.
You can
the cookie
Girl
monster
Scout
did not strike
there.
It,
it'll work.
The cookie monster did not strike there. It did not. But, you know, I was kind of sad that it didn't. But that's okay.
Oh, they were good.
That's okay.
So, Courtney.
They were good.
Yeah. Girl, you did your thing. I'm going to tell you. Ooh, wow.
No doubt.
Anywho.
No doubt. No doubt. Anywho.
Now, to end on with an understanding, you're talking about someone who basically has 3 lifetimes in one day, every day. So there's a spectrum of basically mental, physical, and you know, health-wise issues. So, you know, there's a lot going on. So if our guest, you know, seemed like she was combative at times, she wasn't. She's basically just expressing herself like that says, honestly. And some people ask the question not expecting a truthful answer. And obviously she has no problem opening up when it comes to telling the truth about how she's feeling, and that's what she did. You know, we have so many cliched responses in this country that I think sometimes it is shocking to hear how someone's truly feeling inside and out. So, you know, be aware of that. When people, when you ask a question, be ready for an answer. And I think Des said that already. But I just want to make sure, reemphasize that if you ask a question in truth, then you should expect an answer in truth.
And there you have it. And that's some real talk. And I think that's all we got. I don't know. That's all I've got. What else you got, O'Kellen?
I got that new label Snickerdoodle, third party tested. Oh yeah.
Yeah. In case you missed it, P4P has come out with some new labeling. It's pretty darn snazzy, and of course, Kalen's got it on his Snickerdoodle. I'll have it on my chocolate when it comes out. But beyond that,
Snickerdoodle shout out.
Stop it.
Anyone that wants to check that label can see that it is third party tested. But they can also call in to find to get the batch number and, you know, what it tested. And I think that's very vital, especially since we're dealing in an era where people are basically subjugating the level, a label, and putting what they want in there, and it's not matching up to what the level is label is saying. I'm messing up all over. Stop it.
That's okay.
Stop it.
Just label. Everybody out there, say it 10 times fast. Label.
Stop it. Just mean.
We knew what you were saying. It's all good. All right, my friend. Hashtag Cookie Monster. All right. Snickerdoodle is Snickerfoodle. On behalf of myself, Kalen, the P4P boys, their new labels, Your Body's a Temple. So let's
there you go.
It.
See what you did. Oh.